You have 10 seconds to come up with something really, really good to kick off the show this week.
Okay, go.
No, you do.
I did it last time.
I don't think that's true.
Go back and check the archives.
I don't. Fine. We're just going to do it. Amber's sitting here waiting.
she could be waiting for a while.
Don't worry, I'm getting comfy.
There it is. Zing.
Good.
Even though, Adam, I'm probably going to edit something funny in for your parts. Hello and welcome to episode 124 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam.
Is it that big of a delay?
No, I was focusing.
I think he had to remember who he was.
I thought you were going to lead into Amber, so I was just like, I was on La La Land.
We always do it in a certain order. It's me, and then it's you, and then it's, hey, we're lucky enough to have a special guest. Who else is with us?
Amber Hughes.
See how she... It's only her third or fourth time on the show, and she's already...
Well, I've listened to you enough times that, you know, it's easy to kind of fade in and out.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I don't, you know what I meant.
Right. Point being is we're lucky enough to have Amber Hughes on the show this week.
Right.
For those of you who have listened to the show before, which is some of you, Amber is a wedding photographer in Vancouver, Canada.
And, that I am.
That's all the intro you need to know. That's it.
We're introduced.
Magazines, though. I brought a little note that said magazines because apparently you've been published this week.
Yeah, I was featured in two different magazines. They're both online, but I believe they both do print on request. One is called Heirloom Magazine, and the other one is The Refinery. I actually don't have those in front of me right this second.
We'll put those links up on the show.
Yeah.
I did see the one. I only saw the one, the Refinery, I think it was.
Yeah, that was the one with my Sikh wedding up in Kelowna, which was an absolutely amazing wedding. It was that one. I was there for the full 3 days and just fantastic. Absolutely in love with that couple. And then the other one is just a really sweet DIY wedding from Vancouver. Just absolutely adorable couple. They basically handmade everything. Check it out.
Okay.
I saw those pictures. I didn't see the first one, but I saw that one.
We got it covered.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah,
they were good.
They are good. They have the magazines, they don't tend to just publish nonsense. Like
thank you very much.
If you're bad at it, it's like, you know, you don't get in there a lot.
Yeah, you'd hope.
Yeah. Wow, is that
unless focus? It was really bad photography magazine or something like that, I guess.
But. Although then those tend to show up online usually. I see those
the compilations, you know, when you get to be like a wedding photographer with sort of a larger volume of work, whenever you see something like that pop up, you secretly hope when you're opening it that nothing of yours has ended up in there. You haven't done something that has made a meme out of it, you know?
No, you don't want to be a meme.
No, that would be the worst.
Yes. You've been there, eh, Adam?
I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. Sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That time I was.
Right. So tell us about Amazon, Adam. How does that work?
There's buttons on our website.
No. I meant the whole warehouse part of it.
Oh, well, I guess they ship stuff.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You buy it.
It's not rocket science. I can't believe I didn't invent it myself.
Yeah. Do you really want to know?
Yeah. No, yeah. Let's tell us about how the Amazon works with the two hosers.
Oh, for the two hosers. Well, we have a few buttons where if people want to buy things from Amazon anyways, and they do it via our website, we get rich, super rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're heading to Vegas soon to make it rain. Yeah. Just with Amazon money. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, Adam's right. So if you want to help support the show, that's the way to do it. Now, there's an iPad app for Amazon, apparently.
Wow.
No, do you know this? I was hoping you wouldn't have an answer.
No, I don't know anything about it.
You have an iPad, right?
Yes.
Amber, do you have an iPad?
No, I don't, actually, which is surprising because I pretty much have every other Apple product there is. But yeah.
I don't have my wife has an iPad, but I do not have or use one. But apparently there's an iPad app that allows you to buy things on Amazon. I suppose easier. I don't know.
I really don't need it to be easier.
Well, somebody does. And
somebody does, but it's not me, because seriously, I get into trouble.
It is pretty, yeah, good point. Point being, this really long story here, this epic that I'm telling, somebody wants to know, Brian wants to know how he can purchase via our store using the iPad app.
Great.
That's the answer I had. I have no clue.
Yeah.
So yeah,
sure. The answer is yes.
We're going to crowdsource this. Anybody listening knows how to do that. Please tell us, and then we will tell Brian. We appreciate it.
Great.
T-shirts. We're making T-shirts.
You've been saying that.
Yes, but I'm still not completely sold on the final design yet.
Every day I go to my mailbox hoping that mine's arrived, and yet nary a T-shirt to be found.
Okay, so you just walk. That's why you're walking around with no shirt on. At the gym. Hey, what's up?
You just got to be ready. You never know when it's going to show up.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's Adam's move at the gym. Doesn't wipe the gear down either. No. Correction from last week, by the way. Remember my whole long story about the Wayne Gretzky incident?
Right.
It was not Dave Semenko's helmet.
Okay.
The lady who worked at the place was friends with Dave Semenko. Mark Messier had forgotten his Winwell.
Okay.
And so she said, hey, no problem, I'm on it. And then, as the story went, said, hey, I need a couple of autographs. At which point, Mark started to sign, and she said, no, from Wayne.
So where did we land on Dave Semenko's helmet wearing?
He started his career with one, and I guess bowed to pressure and lost the helmet when he became a tough guy.
Okay.
That's the story I heard, because he evidently in junior was like just could light it up. Like apparently he was like just a phenomenal hockey player. But because he was such a big dude, when he got to the NHL, they needed him to be an enforcer, which he did not want to do. But he liked paychecks, I suppose.
Right.
And then had to take the helmet off because that was kind of the code back then. You couldn't be an enforcer with a helmet.
Right.
Seems weird that you'd be like, you know, the guy going in and you know, being the muscle and not protected.
Yeah, but I guess the code is you don't want to be the guy hiding behind a helmet.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. That's the Semenko. And then I made a joke about Dave Babich not wearing a helmet last week, but I meant to say Harold Snepps.
Yes, Harold Snepps definitely did not.
Yeah, Dave Babich did. So there you go. All cleared up, finally. I know a lot of people are having trouble
hanging on that information.
Yeah. Also, I think last week I forgot to mention something about gels and then during sunsets and how to use them. So use gels during sunsets on your flash.
Great. You want to say suggestions for which one?
Probably a CTO or a straw, probably. I should have mentioned it last week and I forgot. That's all I'm saying is that I forgot.
Okay.
So we'll add it maybe. Maybe it'll be a whole show about sunsets. Not today.
Okay.
Adam, how's the new softbox?
I like it a lot. I haven't used it very much. I've been very busy since I've gotten it. So, again, keep you posted. But so far, my favorite thing is sets up incredibly quickly. So that is a plus. Seems like it is built very solid. I bought a Q-Box you had mentioned before on the Cheetah stand, and I was looking for a portable softbox, did some reading, and came across the Cheetah stand one that was good price. People seem to love it. And so on your word about the company that we talked about the stands, I went and bought one, and I just got it 2 weeks ago, and really like it so far.
Awesome. Yeah, the thing with softboxes sometimes they can be sometimes a total pain to set up. So that's really great to get one that's actually easy to put together.
Yeah, and very portable, very light, and seems very sturdy. So have you seen the Cheetah Stand one?
No, actually I haven't.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll have to check it out.
Q-Box, yeah. That I got the 24-inch Q-Box, and yeah, so far I have not used the umbrella since, just because I've been testing it.
Yeah. Nice.
So, Amber, do you shoot with a softbox or an umbrella?
Well, I shoot with two shoot-through umbrellas if I'm that, just again for portability, and because softboxes are so annoying to set up. So hearing that there's actually something that is a softbox that is quick to put together, I actually am going to check that out, because one thing I really don't like about the shoot-through umbrella is just how much spill you get. Like, you lose a lot of light. So
yep.
I really like the idea of having a softbox so I can actually kind of control the light a bit more, have a bit more power. And yeah, that's great. I'm definitely checking that out.
You know, I never thought of spill in those terms of waste, because that's exactly right. You end up, not only can you not control it and you get a lot of stuff, a lot of light bouncing around that you don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to waste.
Oh, exactly. It's like a bucket with water just splashing out of it. It's not contained.
See, Adam, analogies are good.
Yeah, analogies are good.
Yeah.
Oh, and Amber, that particular softbox, one of the big upsides is it came with a couple of accessories, which you don't get with anything comparable on the market. So it came with a grid included, and it came with sort of a circular mask, so that if you wanted round catch lights as opposed to the square ones, then those were all included accessories in the Q-Box.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I definitely have to check that out.
All at a very affordable price as well.
Yeah, it was like $115, I think, US.
And that's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
and awesome.
And the biggest thing I like about it is the speed ring, because I've seen the setup involved in some of the not so portable softboxes. The speed ring just basically goes on your light stand, and it's just pressure mounted into the softbox, and so you don't actually have to do anything more than literally stick the softbox. It just sort of clamps on with pressure, and it is solid. It's not moving, and it's got a full, you know, swivel bracket ball head, which gives you all sorts of tilt that, again, you don't get on any of the comparable priced softboxes out there.
One of my least favorite thing with softboxes is just struggling to get that speed ring in. It's anyone out there who's ever worked with one knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is a 5-second ordeal. So I should make a video of just the setup, just so people see how quick and easy it is, because it is pretty awesome.
All right.
There you go. I just made a promise to do something that I really don't want to do. So that's great.
I'll cut that part out.
Yeah, just edit that out. I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to double that up and auto-tune it. You're out of luck now, man.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Adam, because I know the answer is no. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I've been talking too much on the shooting interesting, but I really didn't take many photos at all this week. So I'm just going to pass it along to you guys and let you guys run with this one.
I'm going to get mine out of the way. I shot some point and shoot stuff. I've been shooting more with the point and shoot camera.
Did you buy a new one?
No.
Okay. Because I remember you kind of posted a what should I buy on Facebook a while back of a point and shoot.
Yeah. And, I wanted one of those, like a little waterproof point and shoot. But evidently, from everything I've read, unless you're willing to spend $500, you're getting it just a piece of crap that's waterproof.
Okay.
Have you ever, you know those waterproof cameras, like the shockproof, sandproof ones,
yeah.
Amber?
Yeah.
So the reviews I've read are all the pictures are just horrible. So I don't know who to believe.
Yeah, it's not really, what's the point of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would like to have that. I'd like to have a little point and shoot that you can take to the beach or the swimming pool and all that, because that's what we do all the time. But I guess I'll just take a old one and not worry if it gets wrecked.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing I'm up against, because I really, when Evan's older or when we start swimming, I want to do that with him too and take underwater photos and whatnot. And everything I've seen is just garbage. So it's like, what am I going to do? I actually am almost considering getting a waterproof housing for my old 30D and using that as my beach camera, but we'll see.
In theory, that's great. But once you're involved with, you know, being at the beach, it's tough to manage. Like I take Emily to the pool just by myself. And so there's no way I'd be able to manage all that as well.
No, totally.
So, no, I took the point and shoot, like I said, to the Oktoberfest thing I went to. Strictly,
you just lost your Dad of the Year nomination, by the way, too, for that.
What's that?
Well, you made it sound like taking one child to the beach is like this epic, accomplishment that, I'll be honest, it's not a big deal.
I took my one kid to the pool, I was saying. I didn't say the beach. And yeah. So I'm not suggesting...
Still not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting it's an epic thing, but if I bring my whole gear bag there as well and right. have to deal with all of that and making sure she doesn't drown... I'm not talking about prudence here, Adam. Not Dad of the Year.
See, okay. Now if you had like the older camera like I have, mm-hmm. that you don't really care about, and you just choose one lens and you have a waterproof housing, then it's not really, yeah, it's pretty doable.
Yeah, yeah. Run it past Adam first. Evidently, Judge Adam will sort you out.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. No, I hear you. It is nice to have because there are a lot of pictures that I do miss, especially because and Adam can attest to this as well. You'd like to be in at least 1% of the pictures of your kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's been my huge problem. Is there's like a million photos of Evan and Bryn and pretty much like 5 of me.
Right, and I've did this pretty much the same thing over here. Or if they are, it's someone else's point and shoot and. You know, they're not good.
Yeah, no, I always seem to be making a face with point and shoots. I don't know. It's like some special feature they have or something that makes me pull a total weird grimace.
I get sick of telling people, hey, why don't you back up and zoom in a little bit? Because otherwise I look, everybody looks terrible on the wide angle right in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Standard move, but... No, I took a point and shoot to that Oktoberfest thing I was telling you guys about. There's mm-hmm. a thing called Frühlingsfest, which is like spring festival here in Stuttgart, which is kind of the equivalent of Oktoberfest. You go to this big giant tent, and there's the 1 liter beers, and everybody's dancing on the tables and stuff, and it's a good time. But I knew that even though I wanted to bring, at least my 30D, which is about, or 40D, which is about to die... I knew it would just get wrecked. It would get splashed with beer and all that. So I thought, I'll just bring my point and shoot and sacrifice quality for A, having fun, and B, not getting it smashed.
Yeah, always good.
So that was the thing. But the whole point of this is I've expanded my no look at the LCD screen policy, Adam.
Right.
To other people's cameras. Because people have been handing me their cameras. Hey, can you get a picture of us? And I'll take it, and I'll hand it back, and I'll say, do not look at the screen. Just enjoy your moment. The picture's fine. Like, I just took a good picture. I'm not trying to trick them. Just saying. You know how everyone does, the first thing they do is look at the... Hey, do I look good in this one?
Yeah.
Just enjoy the moment, man.
Okay.
So, anyways, on the important stuff. Amber, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Why, yes, I did. I shot a, second shot at a 500 guest Sikh wedding. It was pretty epic.
Oh, Adam did 501 this week.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, okay, well, never mind.
That's not impressive, 500. 7 minute abs? What?
But yeah, no, it was great. It was my first wedding this season, so... And first wedding since I had the baby, so it was nice to just sort of ease back in. And it's kind of like riding a bicycle. First couple shots, and I was right back in it, so it was great.
And do you often shoot second camera?
No. I honestly maybe do it twice a year. It's usually just for friends, and same thing. Like most of my second shooters, or all of my second shooters, are people who are also primary photographers. Mm-hmm. And we sort of will help each other out at different weddings. And the reason for that is, I need to know that the person who is doing the second photography, who's, with the groom or whatever, is getting the photos that I would get if I was there, and not just someone who's just trying this out and hoping to get better. And,
right,
you know, I need to know that there's a certain amount of quality, because this is my client. This is their wedding. I need to make sure that they're getting what they hired me for. So the same thing. And it's nice too, because it's, you know, you make friends within the industry, and there's certain people that you get along with, and your styles kind of mesh, and you want to collaborate with each other. So you get the chance to second shoot with them, you go for it, and you have fun all day, pretty much.
Nice. And it's nice to meet, to work with people who, you know, you're not worried they're going to scoop your clients, and you're not going to scoop theirs.
Well, you know, Vancouver is really cool that way. I have to say, like, our community here, we're all pretty good friends. Like the people in the sort of the middle to upper range, and honestly, there's no infighting or you know, guarding of anything. We're all very supportive of each other. You know, there's no worrying about who's doing what. It's we all want the industry to be great. So we all are very supportive of each other and try to help the whole industry.
There will never be a reality TV show about that, then.
No, unfortunately, we're very boring. Although we do have some fantastic parties, and I gotta say, there could be a reality show about them. So,
all right, let's work it up. And I'm assuming you shot pictures of your kid too.
Oh well, yeah.
Do you
yeah,
have?
No, I have really, honestly, a ridiculous number of photos of him already. It's really bad.
I doubt that's true. Depends what you define as ridiculous.
He's 4 months old, and I already have shot over 1,000 photos of him.
That's not ridiculous. I think in terms of keepers, or...
Oh, well, no, that's, you know, weird faces and doubles and everything. That's just everything I've shot.
Ah, you're doing just fine. I mean, if you compare back to when you were that age and your parents were just starting their second roll of 24 slide film.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you had.
Exactly. But, I think that's... I try to think of how many I shot by that point. And it was probably 1,000. I mean, who knows? Adam, you?
I didn't shoot that many. I didn't really get heavy into it until Sarah was probably closer to 2 or 3. So when they were both babies, Jack a lot more, because I was into it by the time he was born. But,
and he's a boy.
Yeah, and that too. So no, of course not. But shot a lot more from sort of the age of Jack being 2 and Sarah being 4. So the last 2 years, a ton.
That's where I find the important part is to stay on it, though, because wow.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you can get a lot of digital bloat quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, seriously. So I keep the camera just ready to go, just nearby all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to just take photos, the same photos over and over again, like, you know, he's in his jolly jumper or whatever, but it's more if he's doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're having a really good connection, and then I'll get them. There's just, you know, certain moments that you kind of feel out, and you know this is something special, and I got to capture this.
And my advice is take some video, as much as I'm not fantastic at it, but my kids love watching their own videos. They kind of get bored of the pictures, but love the video.
Yeah, that's actually, I've been experimenting with that. I'm terrible at video too. I don't know what it is about video. I just, it's like I lose all semblance of everything I know about composition. Like the whole thing. I do not do well with video, but I have been playing with it just to capture him.
Yeah, and once he gets moving around, it's not easy to keep him in focus.
No.
So that's what I deal with the kid running around, but I feel the same way, Adam. I like to have Seed look back and think, wow, you know, she was a lot bigger at that age or smaller or whatever it was. So I'm glad I have some of that video.
Yeah, and again, for their appreciation, like, you know, they love watching videos of themselves, so especially as babies. So they watch them weekly. I kid you not. All the videos that I've accumulated of them as small, far more interested in that than what they looked like as babies or doing certain activities. I care more about the pictures. Mm-hmm. They care much more about the video.
Yeah. Well, as they get older, though, the photos will become more important
true.
To them.
Absolutely, I agree.
Actually, it was sitting down at your house one time when Sarah brought out her baby book, and she was very excited to show me her baby book.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We make every year. We make the year of Sarah and the year of Jack. So Lisa puts them together. I just choose the photos and put them in files for each month, and then she comes up with the albums.
But it was her first one, like her first year with, you know, being born and all that, that she brought out and was just really thrilled to point, show me all the pictures of her as a baby.
Oh, okay, and, that might have been the only one made at that point.
Okay, could be. But it kind of inspired me to make sure that we did that with Emily as well, just because of Sarah's excitement. So,
well, yeah, we're planning on doing that too. I'm really excited about it.
It's one of those things that I always think, you can just sit down and write 6 months worth, but you don't. You forget. Hey, when did she do that again? You know, when did she say her first German word? Oh yeah, that was 6 months. No, it was not 6 months. Okay, moving on with all the touchy feely huggy stuff. We're done with that.
Yeah. Now I'm just gonna call you names here on out.
Exivoku last week. Adam, what was your shot last week?
I don't remember.
Mine was the sunset with the baseball one. That was 200 mils. And then Adam, what did you do? What was your gels? You did gels.
Yeah, I can't remember. Oh, I did the skipping rope picture.
Jump rope, right. 85 mils is your lens.
There you go.
There's the Exivoku. This week's challenge. Soft light. In honor of Adam getting his new softbox, we shot soft light.
Right.
So let's have a look. I'm going to save Amber's for the end because, spoiler, I like it the best.
So, excellent.
Adam, you or me, buddy?
Let's go with you.
Again. All right. Here's a very, very simple 3-second headshot. With the soft box, or sorry, soft shoot through umbrella. I shot with the umbrella. Adam shot with the soft box. I thought we would compare the difference. So yeah, there you go. This is it. This is just a flash fired right into the soft box. Camera left, very, very close. Not a soft box, an umbrella. Kept very, very close to the subject to keep the light nice and soft. The end.
Okay.
Well, there is more, but you tell me how I did it.
In terms of?
I shot into a corner.
Oh, okay.
The subject here is backed up. She's actually very close to the background. Okay. But rather than just shoot against a blank wall, I backed her into a corner of two white walls, and that way not only was the soft light coming from the umbrella, it was just bouncing around and rattling around on all sides. And that's what created the sort of wrap. We got wrap around, and we got a little bit of bounce fill coming in from the wall, and nice and soft. Very, very simple, under 3 minutes.
Great. That's it. That's all I got.
We'll just sit here in silence for a while.
Yeah, it's passable. I mean, I'm certainly not going to say, wow, it looks like a headshot.
I was trying to shoot a headshot.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, if I was flipping through photos, I would flip right past this. That's all I can say is this. Nothing there catches me. I know who this is. I know this friend of yours, mm-hmm. but nothing strikes me about the photo. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Does it have to strike you every time?
No. I'm just saying it's a photo challenge. I mean, I think it might want to strike me.
We should have done you first. Oh. Now I'm going to feel like a jerk piling on, like it's just revenge or something.
Well, that's okay. We can talk about mine. I don't have anything else to say. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it doesn't strike me.
I gotta go.
I'm usually nice to you. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. Well, I'm not a professional. Let's let Amber. She's a professional. Let's let Amber, you know, tell you what she thinks.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I do really like about this photo is that the light that you've created from your light source and then bouncing it, it looks very natural. It doesn't, like, you don't look at it and immediately go, yeah, that's totally lit. I mean, for me, I know it is because I can see your catch lights. Mm-hmm. But to someone who's just, you know, casually flipping through and seeing it, they would think that was just natural light. And that's not something that's easy to achieve.
See, Adam?
There you go. It's awesome.
Because often I find, like, you'll see softboxes or you know, shoot through umbrellas, and it you can tell it's lit. Like, it's very definitely lit. Whereas this looks much softer and much more natural.
Right. That's what I was going for. And Adam is right. This isn't going on my wall. And it's not the fault of the subject. This is a very sort of standard photo. I don't argue with you at all. But I was particularly jazzed with how simple and unlit it did look. So there's that. So thank you, Amber. Okay. I'll have a better day now.
All right.
Okay, let's get Adam's monstrosity out of the way.
All right, I like my photo much better than yours.
But well, it's of your saying. Kids.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it sparks a feel good feeling and looking. This was shot for Mother's Day. I like to shoot a Mother's Day photo each year of the kids. So this was Sunday morning before Mother's Day. Mummy went out for a little while, and I thought quickly I'm going to get the kids into their hockey gear because they've just started playing like stick and puck. Mm-hmm. You know what stick and puck is, mm-hmm. Amber? Yeah, just go to the rink and you're allowed to have pucks, but they have to be in full gear. So we just got them the full gear. They're very excited about putting it on. And so I thought, okay, this will be a different take on it. And we've been talking about the backwards couch as a prop. So I was trying to put a few things in here. I wanted to use the softbox. I was using the backwards couch. I wanted to go with the hockey again. And so there it is. So this is in my living room with the softbox to camera left, but very close range to the wall. And I was trying to balance the light, the window light from one side, which I wanted to use as fill. So that's camera right. And I also was trying to figure out how I was going to balance the light on the wall, because again, they're about 2.5 feet from the back wall. So the window light's hitting the back wall. And then I was trying to figure out how much flash to light them and also balance the light so it didn't look like it was two light sources on the back wall. Mm-hmm. So if you look closely, you can see the kind of warm versus the cool light on the wall. Mm-hmm. But so that's all I did. So it's just the softbox camera left, and I got them still for 2 seconds. They came up with the pose on their own, which was really the reason I used this picture, because I just liked the pose. I just liked the way he sat his chin on her shoulder, and that's it.
That is nice, the way he is doing that. The way that your kids actually like each other in this picture.
Yeah, they were very uncooperative, where I wanted to bang my head against the wall for the 5 minutes that led up to getting this shot. So I was done with this shot. I just was, once I got both kids in gear, I was already done. Mm-hmm. But then to get them to cooperate for the shot was a whole different animal. And so then trying to figure out the photography specifics to balance the light and all that, I was just like, I hope I got it because I want to fight both of you.
I want to fight both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. You're right. You are dad of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can get two kids dressed in hockey gear, set up a softbox, and take a photo. So I'm pretty sure you can manage to get one kid to the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Are we still on that?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amber, thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's a really well-lit portrait. I like that the balance on both of them is really good for the light. In terms of the background, like you said, that would be really challenging trying to keep that all looking with the separation, but like trying to keep it even. And I can kind of see in the middle there's like that little bit of the like a lightness from the softbox. It's kind of a bit of a highlight in the center. Honestly, if you were to take that into Photoshop and just burn it down a little bit, it would probably take some of that out.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just nitpicky. That's my sort of like getting in there and fiddling a little too much, probably.
Right. The two things, like the two issues I have, which I had before you know, made me feel bad about my photo, Adam.
Right.
Is, and again, this might go back to your monitor. I find the skin tones to be a little bit cool and washed out. I like to see them warmer. And now this might just be a monitor issue. Maybe it's my monitor. But my entry, it's got pretty warm skin tones, and I'm looking at Amber's photo, and hers looks a little extra warm on purpose, but it does look nice and warm. And then when I compare yours, I get some cool. Amber, are you experiencing that as well with Adam's?
I would say, yeah, his they're cooler than ours, but I wouldn't say they're too cool.
Okay.
Like maybe just like a hint more warm, but honestly, they're within the range of what I would call acceptable.
Again, could be monitor issues, could be calibration. So
Yeah, and again, I think there is something different because I immediately looked at yours and thought much warmer than mine.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, and again, I just assume that's what you're going for, and versus what I was going for. But yeah, no, I don't. It might be a monitor issue because there's a pretty big difference I noticed between the two as well.
And I balanced mine with a gray card too, so I did a custom white balance using a gray card on the spot, not later.
Right.
So I don't know if that helps, if that's going to make it a little more accurate. And I did not mix light sources. Mine's 100% from the one. So that was the one issue. The other issue, I forget what it was now. Oh, you're in a difficult spot. I find composition-wise, this is a very difficult photo to pull off because you end up having what has become accidentally this fake horizon, which is just the couch, dead center in the image, which, I don't know, I know it's always one of those rules that I tend to break whenever I can or don't really care too much about, but there is something about the balance in here that feels off to me, but I know what you're trying to do is you want to see the gloves because that's part of the shot.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have a mountain of headroom, so I don't know what I would do different myself. I can't give a good solution to whatever it is, but something doesn't feel balanced to me. Could be wrong.
Yeah, I think if it had, I don't know. I mean, it's hard because like I don't know what the size of your living room is or anything. I feel like there needs to be if there's like just a little bit more space, breathing space around them, it would feel a little bit better. It feels kind of tight in on them, but I mean, you know, it's a perfectly good photo. As their mom, I would love it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my mom was happy, and so were the grandparents. So that was kind of the intention of the photo was take something that would make mom happy and grandma's happy. Yeah,
yeah. Like I say, I was finding little nitpicks besides all that because that is definitely good. And having your kids in a picture that when they like each other, that's great. Great job.
All right.
My other one nitpick is it's difficult for me to tell the difference between softbox and umbrella here. Like, I don't know if I think you could have achieved this with an umbrella as well.
Absolutely, I could have.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I think we'll explore the differences between softbox and umbrella on a different show.
I think that the hardest part would have been, it would have been much harder to balance the light on the back wall with the umbrella versus with the softbox.
Could be.
And you won't see that in the picture necessarily, but I don't think I would have gotten it. In the time frame I had to work with these children, I would not have gotten it.
Right.
Yeah.
So Amber's shot, Amber went with, is this softbox or umbrella?
Actually, it's neither. It's a window light.
There you go. I knew the answer to that. That was we call that a setup.
Well, I figured I knew you were doing softbox. I knew there was the shoot through umbrella. I knew there was a softbox. So I figured I'd round it out with the trifecta, which is also window light, which is the original softbox. That's what we're trying to emulate.
Exactly. We're all trying to do better than Mother Nature. And Frank Lloyd Wright, I suppose, the window part. But love this shot. This is from a wedding.
Yeah, it was a fantastic wedding out in Tofino. And so basically this all kind of segues into what we're going to be talking about in a minute. But pretty much they were doing the makeup. She just happened to be over in this fantastic corner of the room where this light was spilling onto her face. And actually I moved the blinds open behind her, so that she would get a little bit from the window behind as well. You can see there's sort of that little bit of wraparound light on her arm as well. And that just kind of makes her more 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was the one who threw the dress up there. And the reason for that is, well, I put it up there and I made her think I was just taking photos of the dress. And so they just kind of ignored me and started getting back to the makeup. And what I really saw and what I really wanted was sort of that, you know, the anticipation of the dress waiting there for her as she's doing this last little prep before this amazing moment of her wedding day. So that's sort of how that image came to be.
These are I'll point out too, these are always a good opportunity to take nice photos of when the bride's getting ready, because makeup people tend to always sit them by the window.
They do, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll put them in the darkest corner, and I have to tell them to. Yeah, no, I don't understand. Some makeup artists will have them in the darkest, yellowest room, and I'll just sort of subtly suggest maybe we should take this over here.
Yeah, maybe I should tell you how to do your business.
Yeah.
Because everyone I've ever worked with has always, the first thing they've done is going, hey, let's
go. I know. Usually.
For their own sake, not even for you, just because I think it's easier for them to do the makeup. But I love the light, like on the back of her neck. And
yeah.
The way it shapes her face. And something else that, would you have framed it this way if the dress was not in the shot?
Honestly, I would have probably, I actually did start out, taking the photo somewhat like this because I love negative space. I mean, I'm all about, I like close-ups, but I also like showing you in your environment as well. And for me, it was sort of empty with just the window there. And that's when I was suddenly had the aha moment of throwing the dress in there as well.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, I usually will shoot wide like this as well as close up. So I probably would have taken the shot without the dress too.
That's why I get the big dollars though, because I think my instinct, I would have probably missed this shot without the dress. And then later on think, I wish I had done that. So pay attention to that, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Yeah. I would not have missed it. But anyways, Adam, what do you think?
I like it. If the dress wasn't there, it probably wouldn't resonate with the audience outside of the bride herself. So again,
exactly.
as someone who doesn't know her or anything about it, without the dress in there, again, I wouldn't really know other than she's getting her makeup done that this was about a wedding. So the story takes shape with the dress for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I like it. I like it.
Yep. If you want to win a photo challenge, don't invite Amber. Yeah.
Hey, you told me to bring it. I mean,
I did tell you to bring it. I appreciate the challenge. So
yeah, he's tired of losing to me every week, so he'll lose to someone else.
Yeah, or something like that.
That's right.
Exifoku for Adam and I's photo. I shot mine at ISO 100. That was to kill the ambient light. Focal length 200 mil. Shutter speed of 1/200th. What's the f-stop, Adam? Shot his at ISO 250, focal length of 50 millimeters, shutter speed of 1/180th. So again, what's the f-stop on his? Okay, this week's topic. Adam, how's your German?
Not good.
We're having a German. It's German category this week.
Heineken.
Der Augenblick.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, nice. Any idea what that means, Adam?
Only because you made show notes.
Right. Okay. Well, I did a cultural translation. I didn't do a literal translation. Literally, it is like the blink of an eye.
Okay.
But that's what they refer to as the moment here in Germany, der Augenblick. And the show has been derailed. Thanks a lot, Germany. Yeah. So yeah, what we're going to talk about this week is the moment. And we're really lucky. I've been saving this topic for when we could have Amber back on the show because obviously she's very good at defining the moment or spotting the moment. But because it happens a lot in wedding photography, there's a lot of moments happening. That's just the nature of the business. So you need to be very good at that. So, but to back up a little bit, Adam, what is the purpose of photography? Don't read from the show notes.
I guess it depends on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose to me?
Sure.
To make nice memories.
Okay. Good way to say capture the moment is what I had written down.
Sure.
So you're right. It's a different way of saying the exact same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm there for the moment, so I'm more thinking about when I'm old and gray and my kids have grown up and moved away from me that we'll have something to look back on. That's my favorite part of photography is I know these will be memories that we have forever, even when I can't remember how to tie my shoelaces.
What will be gray? Adam.
Sorry, what was the question?
What could possibly be gray? When you're old and gray, what's going to be gray?
I don't know. Maybe my arm hair.
Okay.
Awkward.
Yeah. He asked the question. Why are you going to ask that question?
I mean,
my beard? I get a beard.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's already gray, actually.
Yeah. Great. What I wanted to point out is that you can have all the tech stuff down. Like, you can get in there and you can know how aperture works and shutter speed and all those things, and just be the and know how many megapixels your camera has. But if you don't shoot anything interesting and capture the moment, then who cares?
Right.
So what is the moment? What does that even mean?
Amber, go ahead.
Yeah. These are all directed right at you, Amber. We're just teeing it up for you at this point.
So what is the moment?
What do we mean by the moment?
Well, it's anything. It's those little fleeting, moments where just something incredible happens. Either somebody is moved to tears, or somebody breaks out into laughter, or, you know, just those moments in our lives that define our relationships with the people around us.
And a very difficult question we gave you, by the way.
It is very difficult, because it's hard. It's hard to pinpoint what it is. But there's these magical moments that happen throughout the day, throughout our lives, between us and the people that we love, that, you know, it's hard to know when they're going to happen. They're not something that you can create. And it's being able to capture those properly is just incredible.
Now, there's different, like, it's a real philosophical question. You know, what is the moment? And it depends on who you ask and what are you shooting for. So one of the examples I was thinking about when, like, the first example I thought of was wedding photography because of the nature of it. But also I thought after, the second one was, what about like a war photojournalist who is trying to capture that moment? So it tells the entire story without a single word. Like, you want to be able to look at those pictures, the ones that really resonate with you, you know exactly what's going on strictly from that photo. And oftentimes it's, you know, it's obviously in a bad situation, but there's a lot of emotion involved. But it doesn't need to be such negativity things. It is the everyday little events that happen to you that sort of shape your world and make you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking to capture, whether it's your own or for other people. Now, if you're a photojournalist, you have to assume that your audience knows nothing, that they go in with no backstory at all. Now, the nice thing for a wedding photographer is that people tend to have a bit of a backstory built in. Like your audience, for instance, like your bride and groom who are getting the pictures, you don't have to tell as much of the story to them because they know. However, it's kind of nice to do that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and there's also so much of the day that they don't remember or they didn't see, that being able to show them everything that happened, all the little moments that they missed, that's something that they're really looking for as well.
Great point, because you know, all three of us are married, and that happened on my wedding day. It goes by pretty quick.
It does. It's amazing how quickly it goes by. It's been 10 years now, and I still can't believe it whizzed by that quickly.
Mm-hmm. And Adam, do you remember much about your wedding?
No, not really.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You threw up in that trash can, and then...
I don't think I threw up at all.
No. I don't think so. It rained that day. Remember that?
I'm pretty sure I mooned some of my guests leaving the wedding, but from our hotel room up at the in the balcony.
Oh, that's post wedding. That does not count.
Okay,
you're fine. Yeah. And I was not there. And I was Adam's wedding photographer, and I did not capture that.
Yeah, that would have been the moment.
That would have definitely
been the moment.
Yeah, yeah. That was on film those days back then. So that would have been way too dark.
Yeah,
wouldn't have been able to happen. Plus all the gray hair would have been off-putting. So when you, besides just, you know, showing people what happened when they weren't there, whenever I shoot wedding photos or video or something like that, I try to, how do I put this, like, convey a feeling of what it was like to be there.
Absolutely.
You know, if the person's laughing, I want them to think, hey, what was I laughing about, and remember.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I crying? Probably because I saw Adam's moon job.
Well, I think that's part of, like, for instance, like the shot that I did there. I mean, it's not quite the same. There's no, it's not an emotion. It's more like a sense and a feeling of that anticipation, because she was feeling kind of anxious at that point. Mm-hmm. But for like laughing and crying and that sort of thing, it's important not to just, you know, do the sniper zoom right in and just have just the face of the person and have them laughing. It's, you have to try and compose and craft the story of what's going on there. And that's hard to do when the moment's just spontaneously happening. But that's, I think, the important thing to do is to try and include more of the story.
Great. So how do you prepare for the moment? Like, if you're going to shoot a wedding, where do you start?
Well, there's a few things that I do. I always shoot with two camera bodies. I think I've mentioned that before. So whenever I enter, say, you know, the bride's getting ready or the church or wherever I am, whatever the new scenario is, I first select what lenses I want, what's going to work for that situation. So I usually have one wide angle on one side and a longer lens on the other, depending on what the scenario is, depends on what long lens I'll choose.
And one of them is your 18 to 300 zoom?
No. No, I usually shoot primes. So usually it's like a 35 on one side and then, you know, an 85 or what have you, or 50, or it doesn't, you know, it really depends on what I'm shooting. And I'll decide if I want flashes or not, again, depending on what's going on. And I just take a few minutes to get my settings in place where I want them to be. What shutter speed do I want? What aperture do I want? And I take a couple test shots and just make sure that's, you know, my cameras are ready to go. So they're as close as they can possibly get to what I need them to be to capture just about anything in that, in this new scenario that I'm in. And then after that, once I've got my cameras ready, and it's usually, it's nice because usually I've got a bit of a moment when I get to, like, I try to build in a couple minutes at each new location that I can just take a moment and take in what's going on before we go right into the action. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing I do is that I start looking around and just looking at the light, looking at what I've got to work with in with backgrounds, foregrounds, that sort of thing. And I start thinking about, you know, what kind of angles do I want, what compositions would work here. And I sort of, it's almost like a map in my head that's sort of loosely there of, if something happened in this area, what would I do?
Right.
And so it's just, it's kind of a, like a loose idea that I have. It's not like I absolutely have to get this shot with this composition because that would be awesome. It's more like I have this great composition if they happen to end up over there. And then I just sort of wait and I watch and I just keep kind of running tabs on what's happening throughout. And, you know, when something does happen, I can just pull that composition that I've been kind of loosely thinking of for that area out of my back pocket and just do it on the fly. It takes practice.
That does take practice. And it's also, I think, to add to that is anticipating what will happen where.
Like, yeah, well, exactly. You never know.
Exactly. You have an idea. You have an idea that, okay, perhaps, like, for instance, the bride will, you know, she'll be getting her makeup done there, which is a little easier because it's sort of a sit-down thing. It's not a fast-moving situation. But sometimes to have an idea of what may occur in certain areas, that's nice to have that in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you might miss, but...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you know, it is unpredictable. There are times when things just happen, and you just got to go with the flow. I mean, you know, you're trying to go for the best lighting, the best case scenario, and sometimes you just have to roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're shooting these, are you shooting in manual, AV?
I'm 100% manual. I honestly, it's just as quick as AV. So once I got used to it, that's what I do.
I think it's actually quicker in these situations, especially when you're anticipating.
And the other thing that I like too is like later when you're working on stuff in Lightroom or whatever you happen to use for your raw editing, it's nice because it's not changing all over the place. It's pretty consistent from image to image. So it's easier to process them too.
So is there anything that you can look for that are going to be like markers of is a moment going to happen? And this isn't just wedding stuff. Adam, what do you look for?
Are you going to give me a situation?
Let's say the playground. Let's say your kids are at the playground. Is there a situation where you think, okay, I know that this is going to happen, or there's a very good chance of this happening, so I'm going to be ready for it?
At the playground, no. Anything goes at the playground.
Okay.
I usually look for interactions. I mean, with my kids, it's usually I'm looking for interactions of them between each other. Like if one starts pushing the other on the swing, or if they meet a new friend, I'm looking kind of for, you know, their sort of expressions in interacting with others. Like sometimes you get a funny kind of like, you know, stink eye. Your kid gives another kid a stink eye who's kind of, you know, nudging them on the slide or something. And those are kind of the moments I look for. But again, really on the playground, I think the closest situation that sort of goes along with the conversation you and Amber are having is kind of like the kids' birthdays. So like when the cake's coming out, so you know that's going to happen, and you know that's going to be one moment, them blowing out the candles, or just their look as, you know, the cake is presented in front of them. And so I kind of do something along the lines of what Amber's saying and sort of get all my settings dialed in so that I know exactly where I want to be. And then I just basically take a couple of pictures as the cake gets placed in front of them and as they blow the candles out. And then as they kind of smile when they hear the applause. So
the applause.
Yeah. For, you know, how everyone cheers when, sure, they blow the candles out. Yeah, that's the applause.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, do all weddings have basically what I would say similar moments? Like
fairly similar. I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's something that's based on generations of traditions. So there's going to be traditional moments. That's just, it's the nature of the beast. So, you know, there's, you know, the exchange of the rings, they're going to do their first kiss, except for Sikh weddings, actually, they don't do a first kiss, but there is a lot of stuff that is pretty much standard. So you can anticipate those moments for sure. But you know, I was going to say actually what you just said about interactions, that was going to be my answer as well, is that's pretty much what you are constantly looking for, is when two or more people sort of come close to each other and start talking, there's going to be some kind of an interaction. And sometimes it's nothing, but sometimes, you know, someone will tell a joke as they get, you know, start talking or what have you. And that's when you get kind of the most emotion, I find.
Right. So look for, okay.
Yeah. Interactions between people are really the big thing. I mean, you know, the bride could be sitting by herself getting her makeup done, and then suddenly her maid of honor comes in, and you know, there's a good chance that she's going to say something, could, you know, try and, you know, get her laughing because she's feeling nervous or something like that. And that's when you have to sort of keep your eye open, keep conscious of what's happening, and just sort of watch them.
So on top of all the structured moments,
yeah,
of like all the ones you already mentioned, it's nice to keep an eye out for those little. Now, when you're going to shoot these, like Adam mentioned, you shoot a couple of photos of the, you know, the cake being blown, the candles being blown out. Do you shoot in burst mode?
Oh, definitely. I sort of, it's like a wave almost, I find. There's like a, you know, it builds, there's the moment, and then there's the after moment. And every, I find every moment like that has many subtle, smaller moments within it. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to shoot all of that, because you never know which one of those moments is going to be the one that's the most poetic. Because, you know, like, for instance, like, when the father first sees his daughter for the first time in her wedding dress, mm-hmm, and he first sees her, and he's all proud, and then they go in for that hug, and there's, like, the, you know, there's that tender moment, and then they pull back, and they look at each other, and they smile. You know, there's many different parts of that could be the most beautiful part, and it's different for every father and daughter, every couple. So I always shoot extra just to see sort of what's going to be the most important part, what's going to be the most heartwarming of this moment for them.
That's interesting, because that's one of my favorite parts of the wedding ceremony.
It's one of my favorites too.
And it's a standard. Like it's you can look for it at almost every wedding, but you're right. Mm-hmm. The individual reaction to it varies quite a lot. So it's one of those things you want to be ready for.
I've had dads come in and just sort of, oh yeah, it's great. and then there's the ones who just, they just start crying, and it's the most amazing thing that they've ever seen. And you just got to be ready.
Especially when it's, you have an idea about the dad, and he's one of those tough as nails kind of guys.
Yeah.
And then seeing him break in that situation, and I usually yell something out like, "Ha ha, cry baby," or something, just to break the tension.
Yeah.
It's that move, and then the other one where, I always check with the grooms ahead of time, because sometimes they forget in the moment, or it just doesn't occur to them at all that when, the dad brings the daughter down the aisle and kind of hands her off, have an embrace with the dad.
Yeah.
Because
very important.
They want to, they just probably forget. And so maybe shake his hand or give him a hug or whatever it is that you're going to do. I don't dictate that. I'm just saying, remember that, because that to me is a nice moment as well.
It is, yeah.
So when do you start the burst mode? Do you start right when the moment's happening, or beforehand, or?
It's hard to really anticipate the moment's going to happen. So it's really, if it's a moment that's structured that I know it's going to happen, then just before, I start just as we're getting there.
I try to bracket before and after, exactly. Yeah. So that way, say I'm taking three shots, the middle one's going to be the one I was looking for, and then I have at least one or before and after. Do you ever shoot safety shots? Like you anticipate a structured moment's going to happen, but you might not get it. Do you shoot safety ahead of time?
Do I shoot what I know is the safe shot and then I get artistic with my composition, or?
Right.
Yeah, no, I do that, honestly, just to make sure, especially, got to say, with the Canon and 5D Mark II, sometimes you got to be giving yourself backup safety shots with that camera, because it is not the best for focusing. I will admit that.
Okay.
But that's just me wanting to make sure that I've got myself covered. And then honestly, a lot of the time I end up giving them one of the more artistic shots instead.
So what makes a great wedding moment? Besides the ones we've already talked about, what are some of the favorite ones that you shot over the last, say, couple of years? Or do you have anything in particular you can think of?
Oh, really for me, it's anything with really strong emotion. I think my absolute favorite, honestly, it probably doesn't look like much to anybody else, except for the couple and for me who was there. But there was this one groom, I remember she was coming down the aisle, and I turned to get his reaction. And I've had a lot of grooms over the years, and usually they're really happy and really proud. Their eyes are a little bit sparkly, but he was full on crying, streaming down his face. There's actually tears hanging under his chin, and he just looked so happy and so proud and just trying not to fall to pieces. And it was one of the most beautiful displays of emotion I've ever seen. And in that moment, you could see everything that she was to him. And to me, that was one of those amazing wedding moments.
There you go, Adam.
I'm crying right now. Hold on a second.
That's what I thought. I thought we'd give you a second. Just compose yourself.
I don't have anything to add.
No, see, for me, I think about exactly what you're talking about. And what is that moment going to mean in 10 years? And
exactly.
And looking at that photo or 20 years or however on, we can just keep throwing numbers out at you if you like. Will it translate? I mean, go ahead.
That just made me think of another photo that even more so, I think, has more of that in the years to come, what that's going to mean. I was shooting at a wedding, and the father actually had cancer, and he'd been quite ill. I actually was a second shooter. I'm not sure what's happened since, but he was having a hard time walking up until the wedding, and he made the effort somehow, willed himself to be able to not only walk her down the aisle, but then to also dance with her at the wedding. And I have this one photo. It's of the back, her back, and it's his face, and he's got his face cradled in next to her. He's got his eyes closed, and he's smiling, and he's holding her hand. And I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. But it's just in that moment, you can see just how much he loves her.
Yeah. Can I really am. Adam, run with the show for a bit.
No, I think that's just well put. So,
When you are shooting, like, that one's obviously a special circumstance, but when you're shooting most moments at a wedding, are you thinking about how it's going to look in 10 years?
I am, absolutely.
I admit I don't think about it while I'm shooting. I don't have that, but ahead of time it does inform sort of my style about what I'm looking for and how I want it to be a timeless sort of like a time capsule of this moment so that everybody can enjoy it later on.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I want to be able to give people that gift of being able to hold that moment forever.
Now, when you capture one of these, we've said moment a million times, but that is the category, the topic of the show. So when you do capture one, do you always know it when you snap the photo, or does it sometimes, do you just discover it in Lightroom?
I almost always know, to be honest. There is occasionally the time where I'm like, I did not realize that photo was as awesome as it was. But it's almost, I don't know, it's like a weird, like, photographer spidey sense I have. Like, I just have this feeling when I've gotten something that's really special, and then I'm, like, really giddy and want to get home and look at it, but still have to shoot the whole wedding. But yeah, no, it's actually that feeling that knowing that I just got that's what make me addicted to weddings. I love that feeling.
And Adam, do you find you just discover pictures later, or do you always know?
Usually I know. I wouldn't say always, but usually, just because I think you're also seeing the moment. So for me, most of the pictures I'm taking are of my kids. And so regardless of things like composition or whether or not the exposure is perfect, when I see something happen sort of that, you know, makes me happy, watching my kids do something for the first time or watching them interact in a way that's just new to them, then when I got the picture, I'm happy, because really that's what I'm in it for. So
do you think 2 years ago you would always know when you got the correct, like, the moment?
Well, again, it's just different, right? I mean, yeah, hard to say. Like, I know when I've got a moment, but when I look back at those moments and then I look back at, you know, what I've been able to do in the last couple of years, then there's definite, like, I have an appreciation for everything else, but I still love to look at some of those early moments because I've only captured them in that way. So I don't really know the answer to that question.
I do know the answer. I think you've by burning a lot of calories taking photos, you've gotten much better at it, at not only recognizing the moment, but making sure you capture that exact time. So
right,
it's a situation of, you definitely, you know, you like all your old photos. I'm not suggesting otherwise.
No,
I think you're getting better now.
It almost becomes like muscle memory, I find.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you're already so familiar with what you're doing, it's easier to make it, like, expand it and make it more artistic and take it that next little bit.
Right.
Yeah, and I think my biggest difference is, I think sometimes when you are not super quick at capturing it, you can get in the way of the moment. So I'm much better at getting out of the way and in not interrupting the moment. So the moment happens without me trying to get things set up just so.
Interesting. So yeah. What, Amber, what do you do to not participate, or I would say taint the moment?
You know, I try to, honestly, I try to become as friendly with my clients as possible, so that when the moment happens, they feel comfortable and I'm just part of the scenery almost. Mm-hmm. I'm not this big, scary professional photographer with this camera in their face. I mean, I do have my camera there and I am a photographer, but at that point, I'm just Amber. I'm one of the people in the room. And I find that really helps.
Absolutely. Wedding camouflage. That's exactly what I try to do as well, is despite my normally antagonistic nature, Adam.
Right.
With clients, I try to blend in the background.
And I do, like, it's not to say that I don't interact with them, because I do. Again, the thing with being friendly and everything with my clients before is, you know, they're going to want to talk with me and joke and stuff, and I can't really, you know, not talk to them. But I do try to be so that it's just comfortable having me there.
Especially
I feel like
on.
I belong.
Like, if you're lucky enough to get, I mean, normally people hire you to shoot, like, the prep as well.
Yeah.
And so that's the time I find where it's a great opportunity to be, you know, really friendly and sort of participate with them. Mm-hmm. So that later on, when they're doing, you know, they're having the ceremony or the after, whatever they're doing, that's a great time where you can just blend in.
Exactly.
And be funny and whatever it is, you know, when that presents itself. But I take it, I mean, I'm sure you do the same thing. I dress fairly neutral. I don't...
Yes, I do, yeah.
Oftentimes I'll wear a white dress, but...
it's a little awkward, but
yeah. I usually probably wear it better than the bride, but I have nice legs, Adam.
Yeah.
No, but by the end of the day, the couples, and this, a lot of it is comes from the video side of it. When I was shooting wedding videos, the couple will be so comfortable with me that they would just sort of forget I'm there during the candid part of the wedding.
Exactly.
Because during the setup part where you have to basically take the portraits and dictate, there's no way you're blending in, and nor do you want to. But at the reception or whatever it is, and it's not just about long lens, it's not just about necessarily hanging back and picking shots off. It's all about your own camouflage as well.
Well, you know, I find too, when you have gotten everybody that relaxed and that used to you, that you can even get in there with, you know, a wider angle lens, you know, not even be doing the long lens and still have the same reaction of just comfort around you.
Which I recommend trying to do if you can. There's a certain intimate feeling about it that is, it's just a different feeling. When you look at a picture that was taken with a long lens versus the wide one that you're talking about, there's a certain sort of participation as the viewer of the photo.
Exactly, yeah.
That translates very well. So lastly, do you ever try to recreate moments?
You know, actually, I have a couple times, but to be honest, it's only been about maybe three times in my entire career. So that's saying something. It's extremely rare. It's something that I only do if I have had absolutely no choice. For instance, you know, say an Uncle Bob stepped out in front of me during the first kiss or something like that. Uh-huh. That's when I would try to do something.
Nobody likes Uncle Bob.
No, you know, I don't mind him as long as he is understanding of the fact that they have hired a photographer. They are not doing them any favors by jumping in front of that photographer and ruining that photo. Uh-huh. The photo that he's getting is more than likely not going to be anywhere what I'm getting.
Or
and they've paid me money for it.
Yeah,
exactly. So they're not doing anybody any favors. They're only doing it for themselves at that point, and that's the frustrating part.
And
but anyways... That's a whole other rant. So that's one of those things where I would try to recreate it, and that I would wait until, you know, they'd done their recessional, you know, wait for them to do their hugs and whatnot, and then just say, you know, just so you know, this happened. I'm so sorry. You know, would you mind if we just ran up to the front and just did that quickly? That's when I would do it. I would never stop the ceremony and say, we need to recreate this. I've heard of photographers doing that. I'm just astounded by it. Yeah, I can't. There are some photographers out there who call themselves professionals and do the most atrocious things. And they ruin it for everybody else. You know, you get these wedding officiants who've had just the worst of the worst, and they think we're all like that. And it's
right.
It's hard to win back the trust again. But that's when I would say something. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you weigh, you know, eventually they're going to find out that you didn't get that shot. And if it's a really important shot, yes, you would rather they found out as soon as it happened,
mm-hmm,
so that you can have an opportunity to get something rather than later and it's gone forever.
You're only so good at Photoshop.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't remove Uncle Bob entirely if he is the frame.
Exactly.
Do you find you do that, Adam, with the birthday cake? Just yell at Jack You call that candle blowing?
No, no. And if I miss that, he's still going to have another birthday next year. So,
where he'll be yeah. even better at candle blowing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, yes, I also don't like to recreate. I'm trying to think if I've done it. I'm pretty sure it's the similar situation of Amber in one or two extreme situations. But this, no, it's a lot of those moments, like you just said, Adam, if you miss it, you miss it. Back to German. Yeah. Back to German, we say, so ist das Leben. That's,
sorry, I actually had a story last year that happened at Jack's birthday where one of the little boys that was invited to his party, who he didn't really know but was just a friend of ours and we invited, and just as he was going to blow out his candles, this other little boy got right in front of him and blew out the candles. And he was and again, I got the shot of it, and both their heads are in the frame, and you clearly see this other kid blowing out the candles. And yeah, that was my favorite picture from the birthday. So sometimes Uncle Bob can work to your advantage. Yeah. Again, I was not being paid to do this photo, but Jack loved looking at this photo afterwards, and he was mad. Like in months later, still, that was the little boy that blew up my candles. So we did recreate that. We actually did light them again. Otherwise, there would have been a small UFC event at our birthday party. Yeah. So, yeah. That so he got really he got another light and a redo.
Wow! And is he mad in the photo?
He's stunned. He's just stunned. Yeah, I'll have to dig that photo up.
I would appreciate that.
And I'll dig it up for you. I don't know that I'm going to post it on the web because I would have to gain permission from the other parent. I really don't like posting pictures of other people's children without their permission.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? So, that's my thing.
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I do. Hey, check it out. Otherpeople'sKids.com. That's where I put them all.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I have to rethink my business plan.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think we're going to try to post that picture. I'll blur the kid's face or whatever it is. I don't care. Because I'm
looking. But that's the best. That's the whole photo. Yeah.
The other kid?
Yeah.
No, we can blur his identity. I want to see Jack's face.
Okay, we'll see. I'll see if I can dig it out of the archives from last year. Yeah, I do have it somewhere.
So, in wrapping this up, we've said before that moment trumps technical skill.
It's true.
Doesn't mean you can be lazy, though.
No.
It's better a picture that is a good moment and in focus is better than one that's out. So, learn to use your camera. And Amber said it best, it's muscle memory. You want to get... The whole point is to get so good at running your camera with and knowing how photography works that you don't even think about it.
No, honestly, I don't even... It's just part of me at that point.
So when you shoot those situations, like we talked about earlier, about you know getting ready for different zones of the room or whatever it is and knowing where to go, I do very similar things so that all I have to change, besides composition, but all I have to set is the focus.
Exactly.
And that's it. Everything else is going to fall into line, and you're not going to be, well, like Adam said, stumbling around with your, you know, trying to mess with settings, and then you become part of that moment, and you ruin it.
Exactly.
So you don't want to be that guy.
And like I was mentioning before, I always have my wide angle on one, and I always have a longer lens on the other, so that no matter what happens, I'm prepared for it. And I always keep them on the same sides that I, like, my wide angle is always on my left. And I always have my longer lens on my right, always. And that's just so that even to the point of I just know to reach down to that side. This is what I want. I want that camera.
That's a great tip right there.
It's huge. And I mean, there's no reason for it to be on the left side for my wide. That's just the side that I chose for my wide angle. It could be different for somebody else. But that's once I started making sure that that's always the way it is, it just became easier. And again, more muscle memory.
I'm trying to think back if I've always done it the exact same every time. I have, but it wasn't on purpose. It was just that made sense to me to have it there.
Mm-hmm.
So, good tip. When you're shooting with two camera bodies, Adam?
Sure.
Next time you're shooting the birthday with the two camera bodies, buddy.
Yeah, I usually pick a horse. I have two camera bodies, but I generally pick a horse. So, yeah, the birthday, like I say, the birthdays, I don't think require the two camera bodies.
Well, they will.
Yeah, maybe when I'm getting paid to shoot them.
There you go. So that's it. Don't be lazy. Get good at it. And photo challenge for next week, Adam.
Okay.
I got one. We did soft light this week. Let's just do hard light.
Great.
Next week's hard light. So I don't
it's
mean
a good difficult. Challenge because honestly, that can be really hard to work with.
It can be. Adam will do a self portrait, and he's pretty handsome, so it'll work.
Well, I was gonna say it's not hard when you got an 8-pack like I do.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for bringing the show to a conclusion.
A screeching halt.
Yeah. So, but more importantly, websites. Where can people find your stuff, Amber?
Well, you can find me at amberhughes.ca or blog.amberhughes.ca. Those are my two main sites. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/amberhughesphotography. Yeah, that's me.
I recommend doing that. Checking her out.
I highly recommend it. And drop me a line. Honestly, I like to hear from people.
There you go. Adam.
Yes.
Is your wife blogging again?
Yeah, she actually did two this weekend, including one today.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it's a blog fest.
It's a big day.
So that's the schwartzchronicles.com.
Hold on. Schwartzchronicles.com.
Schwartzchronicles.com. And then my other stuff is on our Facebook Two Hosers site, so check that out.
All right, me too. AlanEtridge.com is my homepage, and the rest of the stuff at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about all the stuff we just talked about.
Right, and make us rich on Amazon, right?
That's what it is. We're going to remind everybody. People are doing it. This is what is exciting, is I don't go and do analytics about who buys what, because I don't know if you can even do that. But I can see how much comes in on each transaction.
Right.
And a lot. Some of them are very, very low, like pennies. But what that means is people are going out of their way even to buy little things through our site.
Right. Does that make me rich?
No. It makes you rich in friendship, though. The fact that people are thinking of you, even when they're spending $10 on something,
right,
they're still willing to go through, and we see a small percentage of that. So I appreciate the thought very much.
Great.
Yeah.
Can't wait till our t-shirts are available on Amazon.
They'll be direct order.
Oh.
Yeah. They're going to be designed to be worn at weddings. Yeah.
Like a tuxedo shirt?
Yeah. On the back, it's going to say, "Eat it, Uncle Bob."
Nice.
Yeah. So there's that. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.